Hi, this is Michael Dominic, loyal listener and Patreon supporter, and you're listening to Y'all Heard, your source for obscure information to tell people at parties.
Y'all Heard?
One, two, three. Hey,
hey everybody.
This is Y'all Heard, a podcast where me, Marissa Phillips,
and me, Pete Phillips,
are not related.
And this is a show where two friends with the same last name come together. We take ideas and deep fry them so that they're crunchier and they're saltier. And they are so crunchy and salty that you can't resist learning about those ideas because you love their mental mouthfeel.
Whatever. In other words, we tell you things you didn't know you needed to know. Don't love this as our return to the old intro. Don't love it at all.
What's the problem? Is it mental mouthfeel?
Probably. How are you, Pete?
I'm okay, Marissa. I'm dealing with a general sense of hopelessness lately.
Okay.
So, you know, there's that.
I'm sorry.
And I don't really know where to go for like a pick-me-up, you know?
The therapy?
Like something to get me out of a rut. But I did.
The therapy?
Yeah, maybe. I did have to do my laundry this week, so I had to go to the laundromat. And it was an experience, to say the least. There's a laundromat that I used to go to all the time, and it's closed now, and it makes me sad because I kind of like knew my place there.
Okay.
Now I have to go to another one, and this one, when I walked in the door, there was a man mumbling to himself, but I thought he was talking to me, of course. So I said, "Excuse me?" And he stared at me with completely dead eyes. And I stared at him.
Oh, God.
And then I was like, "Oh, Pete, you got to get out of there."
Yeah, did you leave?
So I kept moving.
Yeah.
And then there was another guy sleeping on a bench.
In the laundromat.
And then there were these cute kids who came in, and their parents just kept yelling at them, like, stay right there, stay right there, be quiet, stay there. And the kids are playing rock, paper, scissors, which I thought was pure and sweet.
That's nice.
Then I put all my clothes into a washing machine and found out that I put them into the $9 machine.
Oh, God.
Oh, so I had to take them out and put them into the $6 machine, but I left a quarter in the $9 machine, and somebody actually gave it to me.
Oh, nice.
And I kept dropping my clothes. Mm-hmm. You know how you do that?
Yeah.
And there was a roach on the floor.
Oh, yeah, it's funny you mention that, because I was going to say that I pray I never have to go to a laundromat again, because the last time I used to have to go to a laundromat, there were roaches all over that fucking place.
Yeah. So I was like, how clean can it be if there's roaches everywhere? But my mom said, you can't help it. If there's water there, then roaches are going to find it.
You can't help it. Just be very careful. Like, if you drop something on the floor, shake it off.
And don't bring the roach home.
Yeah. I had my sermon. I'll get to this when you're done. My exterminator came today, and he was explaining that German cockroaches are the kind of cockroaches that you tend to bring places. But continue.
Those are the ones that took over my apartment building floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much done.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say I used to have to go to the – I was looking about the laundromat yesterday. I don't remember why. We have a washing machine now, and I feel like a queen because I've lived so many years without a washing machine in my house. And – in my old apartment, which cost a lot of money, and it was like a nice enough apartment, they had coin laundry, but no coin machine. Mm. So I would only go to wash my clothes like once a month because it was just so hard for me to get quarters. And I was thinking back to when I used to live in Wilkes-Barre, when I lived above Donald's, how we had a washing machine, but it was in the horrifying basement that I was convinced there's something bad in it. So I actually never can recall how I ever did laundry there. And I really wonder. There was I was a really gross person at a point in my life. I was going to give an example, but I realized it's probably better I don't. But, I mean, I know I had to have washed my clothes, but maybe barely. I don't even know. Anyway, but speaking of bugs, I pay for exterminators because my landlords won't. So anyway, I get our house treated every other month. And yesterday, Aaron goes, "Oh no, you're not going to be happy." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "I just killed something. You're not going to be happy." And I was like, "What?" And he was just like, "I don't know. The centipede came from wherever." And we have not seen one centipede through the winter.
Right.
And I was like, "Oh, it's not even hot yet. I'm not ready." So I have a deal. The deal with Orkin is, by the way, if you ever need an exterminator, I recommend them. The deal with Orkin is you pay for them to treat either monthly or every other month. But if you see shit between that, they just have to come and they can't charge you more. So I called them and I was like, "I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with centipedes again." Yes, I did have one. I did pretend I had two, so that seemed like a bigger problem.
You always got to round up. Yeah.
Yeah, long story short, the guy went everywhere. And we concluded that a centipede just came in from outside. But you know what? Your house can't be too protected.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was like, "I didn't see anything." And he like opened doors to watery, damp areas. He's like, "I don't know. But we had it. Well, 100%. We had it dead." And so yeah, he said, "I don't know, I guess it just like came from somewhere." So anyway, my point of that is that I'm really neurotic and I made an exterminator come because we had one centipede that probably came from outside.
Yeah, that's
whatever,
okay though.
Paying enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he actually, we're pretty tight. Me and that exterminator, we have good conversations and we have a lot of fun. And I seem to be the only person that tips him. Because the amount of joy when I tip him makes me really depressed. So, yeah, anyway. Let's move on.
I have two pictures on my wall. One is New Jersey cryptids, and the other is Pennsylvania cryptids.
Mm-hmm.
And two people have said, "What's a cryptid?"
Oh,
that's what's bummed me out.
Yeah, I assume certain things everyone knows. Like Pizzagate, by the way, I was like, "Oh my god, I'm going to a punk show at the place where Pizzagate happened." And everyone's like, "What the fuck is Pizzagate?" And I was like, "Where are you? What boring life do you live that you don't know what Pizzagate is?" So yeah, I understand.
And like, Bigfoot is on there. Can't you make that anyway?
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's lame.
Listener mail.
Hi, this is Alex. So I heard your response to the call that I left earlier this week on the most recent episode of Y'all Heard on Doge, which I recommend. It's a good episode. It's a banger.
Good job, Marissa.
Thank you.
And I felt embarrassed because you said something about how the song was AI generated. I commended you on the song for the patrons. I expressed appreciation. I thought it was a very nice song, and I did not realize that it was AI-generated, and I feel really, really silly and really foolish.
It was not my intention to make you feel silly or foolish, Alex.
Bad job, Pete.
Cheers and jeers. Marissa's winning so far.
Except, here's why I feel entitled to have made this mistake. The AI robot said something about me, Alex. That's Mary, is what the robot said. Now, I have a Eastern European, a Hungarian last name that has been mispronounced for the last three generations, but I've been trying to turn it around. I've been trying to get it right. I have worked with Hungarians. I've asked them to, like, really coach me on the pronunciation. And so I believe that this is the very best I can do at it. It's Szatmári. And, you know, if you want to go another way, my family has been saying since Ellis Island, that Mary. It's confusing because my last name starts with an S-Z. I have to say my last name is spelled S as in Sierra, Z as in Zulu, A as in Alpha, T as in Tango. And then if the person that I'm talking to on the phone doesn't understand the Bato phonetic alphabet and doesn't know that Sierra starts with an S instead of a C, it's very inconvenient. So, all of this to say, the AI mispronounced my name in a way that I've totally heard a lot of people do, but I have no idea why a mispronunciation of my last name would be in the training data that the AI would have used. I find that befuddling. So, at any rate, I feel like I shouldn't lose too much credibility over having been fooled by the AI. The song was a real bop. All right, thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Alex. We all have our, we all misjudge and misidentify AI. It happens to us all. So don't be too hard on yourself.
I'll also tell you that it mispronounced your name because I told it to mispronounce your name. I learned when I did a few different projects over the years. Marissa and I worked together on a project many years ago. And I had to trick something into saying things in a certain way, because if I typed it in as its proper spelling, the system would mispronounce it. And so I had to I spelled your name in AI, S-A-T-S-M-A-R-R-Y, two separate words.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
And I got that pronunciation by Googling your last name and looking at the phonetics. So you tell Google to shut up. But I feel like I do have to indicate that I wrote that song and then it turned it into music. So,
That's good that you point that out.
Yeah, that's why we got some people's names right and some people's names wrong in this case.
Also, Alice, I need to thank you for complimenting my episode, because I I'm aware of this. But I am the weak link, and I am known for having very bad episodes, so thank you. It's nice to know at least one of them, because Pete refuses to take down my worst one. So it's nice to know I have one to even that out.
Yeah, we're going to play that one at your funeral.
No, I think for my birthday, my gift should be that you take that down, please. Or else I'm going to stop paying for our Patreon, which I still don't understand why.
It's March. What's your favorite marching band instrument?
No. I don't like this. I'll let you answer first.
Here are some choices.
Yeah, I know. I was in marching band.
Oh, okay.
For too many years.
First of all, I didn't know this.
Really? You've been to my parents' house, right?
Yeah.
They keep a framed picture of me in my stupid fucking marching band outfit. But then I told them, because they had to buy that picture, which that's why they get upset, because I told them, I admit things to my family that they should never know, but I just have a sickness where I need truth to be out there. Mm-hmm. And I told them that at the end of marching band, I like lost my music and didn't have it memorized. So I just pretended to play for like a bunch of months. And what's crazy, guys, what's fucking crazy is, to stay in marching band, you were actually supposed to be tested on whether or not you memorized the music. But you wouldn't be tested by the teacher. You'd be tested by, like, the senior person in your particular section. So I was tested by the senior alto sax player. But we only had two alto sax players, and, like, he was basically my friend. But he didn't even know I didn't know. I would start playing it, then peter off. And instead of being like, do it again, you don't know it, he'd be like, oh, be more confident, be more confident. And he just thought I was shy. Yeah. So, but what's funny is just like, sometimes there were only two alto saxes. Sometimes my partner would be gone. And I mean, I don't know how keen of an ear conductors are supposed to have, but no one ever noticed that sometimes no alto sax was in the band playing at all. So I just moved my fingers and looked like I was blowing. And my parents were so mad that they bought that picture, because I told them, hey, you know what's funny? I probably wasn't playing that picture.
Oh, this is an action shot.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll have to send it to us for the Instagram.
Yeah,
we don't have an Instagram. It's okay.
Next time, I'll see if I get a picture of it. Yeah, I'm a cruel daughter. I shouldn't admit these things to my parents.
I don't
How
know.
How about you?
I don't know. Wait. Sometimes they're kind of cruel.
Yeah, that is
parents,
true.
Not yours.
I realize I had an excellent answer. That's the least favorite. The most favorite is like, I don't know. Percussion always seemed fun. That's all.
That just percussion.
Well, when you were percussion, I don't think, I'm pretty sure, unless you like played a snare drum or something, I don't think you had one specific instrument. Because if you just like, I could be wrong. You could correct me if I'm wrong. But like, I'm pretty sure in some marching bands, like you needed a triangle sometimes. You needed someone to hit a fucking bass drum.
Who the hell's
going to
hear a triangle in a marching band?
I don't know. Again, if someone in the marching band can correct me, but if I remember, if you were on percussion.
Don't correct Marissa. Don't you dare.
If you're on percussion, I'm pretty sure you sometimes had to play like different parts of percussion because sometimes like a drum would only be needed for a very short amount of time and then like.
Or like a cymbal?
Yeah, something like that. Like, you're not playing that constantly. So I think they kind of, like, played a few things.
I just assumed they marched in place until you got to the cymbal part.
I don't remember.
I'm going to go with French horn because it's seasonal.
What does that mean?
Like, they're out at Christmas time.
They don't go away after Christmas time.
Yes, they do.
Okay. Sure, I'll let you believe that. So what do you think the French hornists do after Christmas time? Go into hibernation?
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, you wouldn't call it hibernation, but dormancy. Yeah.
Okay. By the way, for some reason, I don't even understand why this rule existed. To be in concert band in my high school, you had to be in marching band. So, like, it was such a privilege to play indoors in a concert that you had to do manual labor band in order to be allowed to do concert band.
I could see that.
I guess because nobody wanted to be a marching band.
Right.
Yeah. So
you want to play an instrument, you pretty much have to do this before you can do that.
Yeah. So that was cruel.
Yeah. A lot of things have been cruel over the years.
Yeah.
Speaking of cruel, as a disclaimer, this topic was prepared before the president declared English as the official language of the U.S., a gesture that is so empty that it only serves to highlight how xenophobic he is.
Yep. Guess what, guys? I downloaded Duolingo when I found out, so I'm trying to learn Spanish again.
Years ago now, Michael Dominic encouraged Marissa and I to watch a TV show about a man who eats food and somehow has a link to a samurai.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Samurai Gourmet. Marissa, did you try the show?
I don't remember if I did. I feel like maybe I didn't, but I'm glad you reminded me.
So here's the synopsis. Recent retiree Takeshi rediscovers his passion for life, for food and life, excuse me, by getting in touch with his inner warrior and eating what he truly desires.
That's what I've been doing in life now. Let's see how much weight I gain.
Yeah, I have to go to the doctor's this week. I'm not looking forward to that. Mike indicated that this wasn't the only show of its kind that's just centered around eating food, but is not a reality show, by the way.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But it's the only one that I have actually watched directly. But unfortunately, Mike, I couldn't stick with it. And the reason is because it's subtitled. It's a Japanese show, and if you can believe it, they only speak Japanese in it.
Never mind. I was going to just say something jokingly, but we're in America. I won't even make jokes anymore.
So I'm not saying that a show needs to be dubbed, but I would probably have given it more of a chance. Like, I would have gotten past the first episode. I watched the whole first episode. I would have gone into the second if it was dubbed. Quite frankly, for me personally, sound does a lot. And, you know, like, we run a podcast. We love working with sounds, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, here's the thing. When I see something and I find out that it's subtitled, I feel like I might be being, like, racist for not watching it. And maybe it's not racist, but maybe it's, like, xenophobic. Like, it makes me feel guilty and like I'm a bad person if I am unwilling to watch something because it's subtitled.
I'll just admit something now. I mean, I'm not unwilling to watch something that's subtitled. I just need to, like, be ready. But yeah. I run an anime club, and while I will make exceptions... Upon starting the anime club, I told everyone that I would not accept subtitled shows. Not because I'm like, fuck subtitles, Well, because let's not lie. If you attend my club, you're multitasking.
Yeah.
So that's why.
And for the most part, if I were to make an assessment of myself, I don't think I'm that bad. But this is something that does make me feel bad. I can't tell if this is like a preference or a shortcoming. Like you were saying, Marissa, can you just prefer to not have subtitles? Or is it like, no, you have a problem because you can't do subtitles?
Yeah, but you don't refuse subtitles, do you? You're just like generally, don't you generally multitask? I just assume it's because most people multitask.
Yeah, yeah. Aside from live events, I pretty much always have subtitles on when things are streaming and I'm watching them. If I'm watching live TV, I usually don't put them on just because of timing. But some accounts, and by accounts I mean like sources, not specific like social media accounts. Sorry.
Okay.
That was to clarify for no one. Say that some accounts say that 70% of Gen Z and 50% of millennials use subtitles when they watch TV.
Oh, yeah, I do every single time because I don't hear things well.
Yeah, those in Gen X and baby boomer brackets fell into the groups that were least likely to be frequent caption and subtitle users.
That's true, although I've been trying to get my parents to watch to use it because they also say they don't hear anything, but instead they just don't hear it and then move on.
Well, maybe you could send them this episode of the podcast.
Okay.
Okay, let's be on our best behavior.
No. Yeah, that's right. You already burned your bridges with my mother. She'll never listen.
I think this is a good time to say that captions and subtitles are pretty much the same thing, but captioning is usually a term that comes up at my job because, like, if I'm doing a video of some sort, I have to caption it so that it is accessible for people with hearing disabilities or something like that. And I also have to make sure that I do the edited version of a video that I make because sometimes it generates unedited ones and there's stuff in there that I can't have going out.
What are you saying?
You know, just like a lot of bad words.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't love my job anymore.
Okay.
Sometimes, like subtitles anyway, I feel like are usually associated with something that's in another language being translated to English or another native language. Yeah. So when I hear subtitles, sometimes I guess my mind goes in that direction. Regardless, I'm going to use them interchangeably together. This episode to mean words that are on the screen that the people on the screen are saying.
We'll forgive you.
Thank you. Preply is a website that connects language learners with tutors, and they surveyed 1,200 Americans to find out why they use captions. Dr. Melissa Baez-Burke, professor of linguistics at the University of Chicago and Preply language expert, commented, "Having subtitles on the screen can help a watcher better understand the content. When language learners have both audio and written information, it can help them better understand the audio information in the future." So receiving things in two ways makes it easier for you to understand it better.
Yeah.
Especially if someone is using headphones and that don't have good audio quality, then subtitles can help reinforce the auditory information that they're taking in. This is especially true for language learners or for anyone who is having difficulty understanding the speech that they are listening to.
Mm.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Peaky Blinders, Derry Girls, and Game of Thrones top the list of of TV shows where respondents reported having a hard time understanding the dialogue. And yes, this is actually a 2024 study, and Peaky Blinders is still making the list.
Is Peaky Blinders? I know Derry Girls is like Irish. Excuse me if I'm incorrect, but I think it's Irish. What is Peaky Blinders? Are they British or is Irish too?
If it's British, it's like
Cockney or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's better. I was going to say dirty British.
What?
Like from a period of time where everyone was dirty in Britain.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
For celebrities, mostly actors, Americans have the most difficult time understanding Tom Hardy, Sofia Vergara, and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Really? Sofia Vergara, maybe it's because I'm Hispanic and I'm used to a certain accent, but I wouldn't have expected that. Also, I don't find Tom Hardy hard. I don't find Tom Hardy hard. You're going to kill me. I'm not going to repeat that sentence. Move on.
So they also have this pie chart that is the accents Americans have the hardest time understanding. Marissa, can you guess one of the accents on this list? Now, understand, we're looking for accents, not languages.
I'm going to assume one of them is like Cockney British. And again, if I'm using the wrong term, I apologize. But
British makes the list with 17%, and it's tied with Irish.
Oh, I don't think it's all British.
They didn't really break it down.
Okay, so yeah, I was going to say those two. I would say those are the two, I would assume. How many are on this list?
Six.
I don't find it hard, but I assume it's some sort of Spanish accent or something.
No. We're looking at Irish and British, both with 17%. South African with 10%. Take that, Elon.
Okay.
Australian with 4%, and American South with 2%.
Oh, interesting. Good.
Which leaves 50% for Scottish. And I'm thinking, how many of you guys are listening to Scottish people?
I don't know. Maybe there's some Scottish shows. I don't know.
So that's all good and well. Just a little detour of information. It's the sidebar in this magazine article of a podcast. Functionally, we also have thinner TV these days.
Wait, I'm sorry. While you're in a pause in between words, based on my own personal experience, I would also say some sort of New York accent seems to fucking baffle people and their fucking minds. Because no one knows.
Oh, you're talking about your own?
Yep. That's what I'm talking about.
Anyway. I thought you were talking about worse than your own. You were talking about worse. No, wait. I thought you were talking...
What?
Trying to backpedal and not say worse than yours.
No, God forbid I ever am in danger and... Not in danger. Yeah, danger of dehydration and I seriously need some water.
My house is on fire. Get me some water. What? Water?
Fuckers. Anyway, continue.
If your house is on fire, what do you need more wood for?
You need two orders? What? Motherfuckers.
Here's some milk. My house is burned down! So, as I was saying, we have thinner TVs now, which means that speakers are more limited because we don't have tube TVs with like big old beds of speakers and stuff. My speakers actually are positioned towards the back of the television, meaning that the sound shoots out the back of the television.
That sounds like a bad way to make a television.
Well, yeah, I know, but there's not really like a place for speakers on mine.
Okay.
Like it's just, anyway, when I mounted my TV to the wall, nothing sounded right anymore because all of the sound went into the wall.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that sounds like a really stupid way to make a TV.
It still doesn't sound right, but it was too hard to mount it, so I'm not taking it down.
Okay.
Anyway, to summarize the Preply stuff, Dr. Burke kind of covered it pretty well, but to put it simply, the top reasons that people use subtitles includes that the audio is muddled, an accent is hard to understand, they want to watch in quiet, they want to stay focused on the screen, or they're trying to learn a new language. 55% say it's harder to hear dialogue than it used to be. Not on a personal level, like I'm getting older and I can't hear more, but on like a bigger production-wise level, dialogue is actually harder to hear these days.
Okay.
CBS dug deeper into this in March of last year. According to the experts, the biggest reason for the rise of subtitles, dialogue is getting harder to hear, according to Oscar winner Tom Fleischman, who has mixed the sound for some very famous movies, including Silence of the Lambs, School of Rock, Wolf of Wall Street, The Devil Wears Prada, and Killers of the Flower Moon. It's his job to balance the levels of various audio tracks, music, sound effects, dialogue, etc. He played a scene from Martin Scorsese's Goodfellas, which featured dialogue, pop music, and rain sound effects. Yep, it was a real dance doing this mix, Fleischman said. I probably should have cut that.
Wait, he said that or you said that?
I'm saying that. Like, why did I include that? Advancing technology, though, has made Fleischman's job harder. Decades ago, there was only one microphone overhead. Actors were trained on the stage, and they had to let the audience hear them, so they had to speak louder and more clearly. With the advent of lapel mics and acting styles changing, there's a lot of whispering these days. The invention of digital sound recording didn't help either. Suddenly, we're able to run 200 tracks at once, Fleischman said. A lot of layering, a lot of sound effects, a lot of music makes it harder to get the dialogue to actually come to the surface and be able to be heard well.
Okay.
Finally, in this era of too much TV, there's often little money and time. Fleischman said, you have to cut corners. You just can't spend enough time making sure that every syllable is there in a word. Has it ever happened that he would send off a final mix knowing that there was some dialogue that no one was going to understand? Oh, yeah. Happens a lot, Fleischman said.
Cool.
And then there's the Christopher Nolan problem. The dialogue in the movies he directs is famously unintelligible. Whether it's Oppenheimer, Dunkirk, or Tenet. Nolan said he sometimes likes to use dialogue as a sound effect. So when you get down to it, you have to be into closed captions in order to be a cool kid these days. And I am a cool kid.
Okay.
But as you might deduce, when one closed... I have to get this right because it's my funny joke.
Okay.
Take two. But as you might deduce, when one caption closes, another opens.
Okay.
Open captions are when captions are embedded into the movie itself. You can't turn them off or on. And these are usually in movie theaters. Like, if you are a hearing impaired person and you go to a movie theater, they give you a little device that will tell you what's being said, but you have to look at the screen and that little device at the same time in order to understand what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
So people have pushed for open captions in movie theaters. The Gothamist reports on one major city, it's New York City. Captions for English-speaking movies are increasingly common in New York City cinemas, surprising some viewers but delighting others. That's because of a city ordinance passed in 2021 that requires most theaters to offer a certain amount of open captioned screenings each week, meaning that dialogue and other sounds are written or described in large subtitles on the screen. This is important, you know? You want people to be able to enjoy the films, and you want the most amount of people. And again, depending on... Like, if you knew you were going to a Christopher Nolan movie, maybe you would prefer that there be captions on the screen.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Jurors for Sundance's U.S. dramatic competition walked out of the premiere of Magazine Dreams in 2023 over an incident in which the festival failed to provide adequate captioning for the deaf and hearing impaired audience members, including the juror Marley Matlin.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Magazine Dreams, by the way, is apparently a movie with Jonathan Majors. Is that his name?
Oh, the guy who, like, got in trouble.
Yeah.
That's
and it premiered in Sundance in 2023 and still has not found a distributor.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, if I were anti-caption, coming back to myself, if I were anti-caption, I would be against people with disabilities and creators who speak another language. But, like I said, I use captions. But some people are actually against them.
Because they don't think people who are hearing impaired deserve movies? I don't understand.
Well, you've heard a lot of compelling reasons why captions are good, but here are some that people say are reasons that captions are not good.
Cool. I can't wait. These are going to be really good.
Some people say that subtitles are too distracting.
Well, I will say sometimes I feel like, I don't know, subtitles versus captions, and if the placement changes, I always, like I said, I always put captions on to make sure I hear, I know what they're saying, but sometimes it is in the way of the fucking shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that, but I don't think that's so distracting that people don't deserve them.
So here's the deal. My mom thinks that captions are distracting.
But does she think people don't deserve to have them at all?
No. If there are words on the screen, she feels like she needs to read them, which takes her away from listening. So I kind of understand that.
Yeah, okay.
In school, I was a good listener, but I wasn't a good note taker. And being a good listener combined with a bad memory means that you don't succeed.
Okay. Yeah.
So for my mom, it's kind of like a sensory overload sort of thing.
I get that.
But after a while, I can ignore captions if I don't need them. Like, it's almost like I don't see them on the screen, even though they're there. Mm-hmm. And we know that my mom can watch Fox News with all the scrolls and shit and still stay on track. So I don't know. I don't think it's impossible for her to be able to do this. But she prefers them off. When my uncle lived with people who, and he couldn't hear very well, they would not put on captions because they thought it was too distracting.
Okay.
I couldn't even guess how they thought it was too distracting. I mean, some of those people had the attention span of a 2-year-old, so I guess that's kind of what was going on there.
Okay.
Now, some say the distraction is in the nonsense that has been provided in the captions. So, let's take a look.
Yeah. I love when someone's singing in a different language, and it just says, like, singing in Spanish, but they can't be bothered to actually put subtitles on what is being said in a different language. I don't know if that's too much for things to handle, but you'd think at this point where everything is fucking AI that it could be handled.
Yeah, you would think so. So here's some selections, Marissa. Let's talk about why these slides with subtitles are less than ideal.
Okay.
This is a picture of Spock, and he's holding a computer monitor, and it says, sobbing mathematically. And those two things don't go together.
Are you supposed to be showing me a picture?
Oh, I did a screen share.
Oh, I just see a black screen.
Well, that's rude.
Oh, now I see it. That's really funny.
Okay. This is a picture from Hannibal.
What does that mean?
And it says in in subtitles, loudly implied cannibalism.
In all caps.
And again, what does that mean? If you said loudly implied eating of human flesh, that would be one thing.
But how is it implied if it's happening? It's either happening or, like, no.
I guess it's implied because it's off screen. Or maybe it didn't actually happen. Maybe he was eating, like, pork instead.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that I get.
This is from Orange is the New Black, and it says, urinating forcefully.
I know exactly what that means.
Okay. All right. And if I am predicting properly, this is one of my favorites. This is from The Walking Dead. And it just says, zombies banging.
That's really funny.
But you have to understand that in the way that Marissa and I would want to read this, it would be the sound of zombies having sex in a room next door. Not zombies banging on a door or something.
The whole time until you just said the way we want to believe this, I, not as a joke, 100% assumed there were zombies having sex.
One of the productions that received a lot of acclaim for their closed captions was Stranger Things. I don't even know what they're on anymore, but like the latest season of Stranger Things, which I sort of fell asleep for part of.
What? You crazy.
That included things like this on the screen.
That perfectly explains like why I don't like centipedes.
It says, discomforting slithering.
Oh, see, I hear something. I know exactly what that is. I co-sign that one.
All right. Here's these next. Well, these four are from Stranger Things. This one says disembodied screaming.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. In a way,
That doesn't make sense.
Disembodied describes the source, not necessarily the sound.
So how is she disembodied? She's just in a thing. It doesn't make her disembodied, does
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I don't know if it's her screaming or something else.
Okay.
This is disconcertingly jaunty music continues.
I don't remember what part that is, but I can only imagine music being disconcertingly jaunty if it was like the music that would play in a clown movie while a clown was going to kill someone. That's the only place I'd accept that.
Yeah. I feel like you could just get away, though, with saying jaunty music continues and letting the scene sort of play out.
And again, I don't remember 100%, but I don't feel like
there's a scene
where the disconcertingly jaunty music.
Yeah.
Wait, this is jaunty, but too jaunty.
And this one, I feel like, is Marissa's least favorite. Tentacles undulating moistly. Again, we're talking about people who are hearing impaired. One person in an article that I read said that they cried at how good the captioning was in this season of Stranger Things.
I could be wrong, but I would say, like, I don't know the scene exactly, but I think a better way to say tentacles undulating moistly is like tentacles squelching.
Yeah, I like that.
That's how I would describe that.
Wet tubes flopping around.
Wet tubes banging each other.
And sometimes, Marissa, we end up with mistakes in the captions.
Oh, I've seen that a lot lately.
This is one from Scrubs, and it says, makes I don't know sound. You need to know what that sound
That's
is,
funny.
And you don't know what that sound is because you can't hear.
Yeah, okay.
Here's one from a DC cartoon. The character is thinking in Martian language.
That's funny.
But we need to know what they're thinking, and we don't speak Martian.
No.
This is one from Pretty Little Liars, and it says, then take it seriously, number one, where it should be an exclamation point.
I like that. It's fun.
So again, typos can happen in captions, although maybe it's going to be less frequent, like you said, Marissa, because AI is controlling everything.
Yeah.
And here's one. It started when I was their age, but really, and never really went away. And okay. There, they're using the wrong there.
What fools.
Fools.
Yeah.
So I've definitely experienced captions being out of sync and me not being able to do anything about it, which kind of drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I've also seen captions where they indicate that a character is, for example, speaking French, except that the on-screen subtitles are telling us what is being said in French, but the subtitle speaking French is covering it.
Oh, God.
And so that can be a little confusing as well.
Yeah, okay.
More recently, I saw a movie where the captions covered part of the performer's face, and I honestly just blame the director in that one for having such insanely tight shots on people.
Who's the director?
I don't even know. I don't remember what I watch anymore.
Okay.
My mind is a black hole to nowhere.
Okay, fair enough.
So a common thing that people say these days, especially when it comes to social issues, is, do the work. You know what, though? Sometimes I feel like I do too much work already.
Honestly, whenever anyone says do the work or do better, I hate them and their point becomes worthless.
Yeah. And like...
Or touch grass. Anyway, that's me changing the subject. Those three things make me want to kill someone.
I'm not saying that the work that I'm doing is vital to the world, but it's work nonetheless. And I guess the question is, should I do the work and learn cinema from different cultures across the globe? Because that's a lot of work. And in some cases, I actually have done this. The Columnist is a Dutch movie that I read fully.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So now when it has subtitles, you're going to say you read a movie?
Yep. That's exactly what it is.
Nope. I'm not supporting this piece.
Katja Herbers is in it, and it looked fun. So I watched it. I actually bought it. I read Speak No Evil, too. Not the American version, but the Dutch version that was on Shudder, I think.
Okay.
Okay, I guess they're both Dutch, but wait. Oh, I read a movie called Calvary, which was very disturbing, and that was a French movie. So I read that movie too. And I don't know a Spanish movie title that I've read before, but I'm pretty sure I've read one or two Spanish movies as well.
Okay. Please stop saying you read a movie.
Now the thing is, all of those movies actually stuck with me. Like, I remember them more than whatever I watched, like, probably last Thursday.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if it's because I had to read them, and therefore I was more engaged.
Yeah, maybe.
Cognition Today says that when two signals, audio and subtitles, match, the brain improves processing for audio and subtitles independently. That makes the information in these signals more salient and more pronounced. Researchers call this the redundant signals effect. In short, subtitles improve listening and listening improves subtitles. This ultimately makes both listening and reading easier than just listening or reading.
Okay.
Doing them together, I should say, makes it better, easier than just listening or just reading subtitles. Furthermore, based on the movies that I've read, do I think that all German columnists will kill their online bullies? No. So I guess captions aren't really opening me up to another culture because they're not depicting reality.
Okay.
Anyway, the point is, I'm not monolinguistic. I do think that we should speak different languages and that the national language shouldn't have to be English.
I mean, yeah, that's a brave stance that I agree.
But a group of psychologists once suggested that such potentially fatal language prejudice may be one of the earliest lessons that we learn in life. Researchers found that infants as young as 5 months old prefer speakers of their own language to speakers of other languages even before they themselves can talk.
That's why I don't like children.
When the researchers showed babies from English-speaking families videos of English and Spanish-speaking adults, they found the infants who have yet to master mama and dada. Dada?
Okay. Yeah, definitely not
<Thank you>.
Dada.
were already suspicious of the people in the videos who said mommy and poppy.
Okay, first of all, mommy is still could be English.
Also, this is M-A-M-I.
Also, I don't even like when people say poppy.
So,
I'm Hispanic. Never used that for my father.
I volunteered for this group in Wilkes-Barre, and the guy was like, call me poppy. And I'm like, no.
Ooh,
fucking weirdo.
Fascinating. You sure he wasn't saying call me P-O-P-P-Y?
He kept... I don't know. He wanted everybody to call him Poppy. It was weird.
No, I don't like that.
Anyway, the fact that, you know what I don't like? Papa. Papa makes me want to puke.
You know what's funny? Just randomly, and I at first she was like, why are you doing that? And I was like, just let me live my life. One day I just decided to call my mother Mama, and this was like late in life, like in my 30s. I was like, I'm going to call you Mama now instead of Mommy. Because, yeah, I also call my mom or Mommy interchangeably, which makes people uncomfortable, but whatever. I just say it. Anyway, I started calling her Mama, but the word Papa cannot come out of my mouth. It doesn't sound right. So, yeah, I agree with you, but I don't know why I could do it for a woman but not a man.
Okay, but the fact that an infant shows an early preference for a stranger who speaks a familiar language, or that, like, school children would pick like-sounding children to be friends with in a test situation, while they're fascinating bits of data, they cannot predict what will happen later on in life. After all, children who don't like peas can wind up being vegan adults, and those who come from the most tolerant of households can embrace orthodoxies or learn to hate.
Mm.
So the American preference for monolinguism is more than a simple case of choosing people to be friends with that sound like us. After all, most of our ancestors were not English speakers. Boom. They didn't sound like us at all.
Indeed.
And that is all according to Dennis Barron of the University of Illinois, who is very old and continues to write about the English language and technologies of communication. Okay. So, everybody, it should hopefully be no surprise I'm not xenophobic. I am lazy and I'm American.
Okay.
So I'm doing the work, guys. I'm working to better understand the content that I'm watching. Additionally, though, I'm understanding the value of captioning for those with and without disabilities. And I'm even experiencing the frustrations of subpar captions when I watch TV, try to auto-caption live and keep up with like a sports announcer who's speaking fast and using really stupid ass words like resiliency.
Okay.
So that's it, guys. Marissa, what do you think of captioning and all that you haven't said already? Do you have any closing thoughts? That's the better way to say it. Hey, Marissa, do you have any closing thoughts?
No, except, yeah, I also have, like, a lot of movies on my, like, list to watch that have subtitles. And again, I will watch subtitle movies, but will I take forever to finally get to them? Yes, but, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of where, yeah.
I need to get a little bit better with that, too, because there's, like, some really great movies that are subtitled, like Parasite, for example, that Bong Joon-ho, I think that's his name, his movie, fantastic.
And he refuses to dub it, or to have it dubbed.
I actually didn't realize that. I mean, I didn't know if it was ever dubbed, and I just didn't notice, but that's interesting. Good for him.
I guess amateur? A person who's not like professional in the field did a dubbed version of it because their sister refused to watch the movie it was subtitled and it wasn't dubbed. So they got friends together to actually read the movie and perform it. And he did not like that they did that.
So, I mean, I get that. But I just say that just reminds me of the maybe very nostalgic. Back in the day when I was in college, anime was around, but it wasn't quite as popular as it is today. So there were a lot of animes that were never dubbed or hadn't yet been subtitled even. And so I used to go to anime club and we'd a lot of times get, like you said, amateur subtitled or, yeah, not usually amateur dubbed. We used to get amateur subtitled things that we would watch, and that was fun because that was like that was kind of winging it subtitles sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it if Bong Joon-ho was like specifically like I do not want this dubbed, but I do love an amateur subbed or dubbed kind of thing. If you ever get a chance, that's actually pretty fun. But yeah, that was a fun episode. I was bracing myself because Pete was like it's kind of related to the. To the new executive order about English as the official language. So I was afraid we were going to get more Trump content.
No, yeah, it was kind of me wondering if I was xenophobic. And then he put out that thing and I was like, no, I guess I'm not. He is. Because I'm not saying that you can't make a piece in another language. That's what he's saying.
I'm
just saying it reduces the likelihood that I'm going to watch it if it's in another language. And there was some movie, you know, like it happens to me a lot on Netflix where people are like raving about some movie and then you put it on and it's like, oh man, this is some like Austrian movie that's dubbed or that's subtitled. And I was really hoping it was dubbed.
Yeah. Oh, but sometimes dubs do ruin things when the dubs are like really bad. I've heard some bad dubs before, but yeah.
Speaking of dubs.
Yeah.
Let's consider this episode a win.
Okay.
It's time for plugs.
So yeah, I am going to plug Parasite, which, as Pete said, is officially only available in subtitles. Fantastic movie that stays with me and I think about a lot. Beautiful Korean movie. And unrelated to anything, but if you need a proofreader... I'm going to plug myself that if you need a proofreader, not for free, you should reach out to me because I need more proofreading work and I'm trying to get a hold, I'm trying to make that a thing I do as opposed to just writing. I'm sure no one's going to take me up on this, but just, you know, if you hear someone who needs a freelance proofreader, throw them my way. You can always slide into my DMs at Riz Vandal or call us at 570-PODWAD1. Okay, Pete?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Pete?
Oh, you know what, guys? I watched that movie Companion.
Yeah, that looks stupid.
I encourage you all to watch it and tell me how I should feel about it.
Okay. Why?
Because I hit the end of it and I'm like, what's the lesson here?
Huh. Okay.
I also got to see Hard Eyes, guys, and I loved it because that's me.
I feel like Michael Simpson told me he loved it and that I should watch it. And I was like, I don't think I should.
Marissa, you cannot watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Michael, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Pete, you are steering Marissa wrong again. But the point is, there is a decapitation, and that's why Marissa can't watch it.
Oh, my God! Michael Simpson! 100%. If something has a decapitation, no matter how good it is, takes it out of the running immediately. Cannot deal with decapitation.
Bring, bring!
Hello?
Bring, bring! Oh, my gosh, wait.
Hi, this is Alex, and I'm calling in with a plug. I want to plug a radio show called Democracy Now, which I had not heard of until about, like, 3 months ago. And then I was like, where have you been my whole life? I love this show. It is just really great reporting, and I think for the troubled times that we are in, it's really helping me. They deal with their topics in great depth, and with a lot of thoughtfulness and empathy. They're often talking about serious things rather than what is the most hyped. And so I think if you're looking for, like, news that will keep you informed but not get you so irritated that you can't do anything useful, Democracy Now! Is just perfect. Now, they have an agenda, but I think it's a good agenda. They are very concerned about promoting peace in the world, helping people get along, be treated fairly, be treated with respect. And so they'll, like, do stuff like cover protests and make sure that if it's a protest that they agree with, that they hear from the protesters why they're protesting. And they often have good reasons that really deserve more airtime. They're really consistent about saying, you know, if a country is doing something in violation of international law, they'll just say that, even if we treat it as if it's a perfectly ordinary thing for them to do. Holy cow, that's the whole thing. And so they have really, like, astute, factual reporting on what's happening in our country and around the world. It is free. It is freely available. I get it on YouTube, and, like, I'll play it on YouTube while I'm washing the dishes. If you want, you can get it as a podcast, or you can listen to it on some radio stations. It's not on NPR affiliates, but it's on Pacifica Radio. Democracy Now!, totally recommended. Have a great day. Bye.
Cool. Thank you. I can't talk. Thanks, Alex. I've heard of that, but I've never tried it. But I'll never try.
And in case you're wondering, it is our long-term plan to have Alex call in and do the whole show.
Yeah.
So that we don't have to do anything.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, I appreciate it. And if you have anything that you would like to plug or anything that you'd like to contribute to the conversation, and you happen to forget what Marissa said a few minutes ago, that's 570-POD-WAD-1, or you can email us at y'allheardpod@gmail.com.
Yeah. So thanks, guys, for listening. Bye.